This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by OTBDiscs.com. Only the Best Discs has a huge selection with high-quality pictures of each disc, actual disc weights, flatness, and stiffness listed. Did I mention fast shipping? Get it free on your next order at OTBDiscs.com using promo code DGPODCAST. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 249 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin, and alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
Let me tell you all a story. Usually I just start making weird comments to get rolling, but...
May I interject?
Sure.
We had a Twitter comment saying that they were no longer listening to this podcast if we talk because we talked about football. So as long as the story is not about football,
I mean, the Niners are 2-0.
Okay, all right, continue.
And I'm sorry if you have CMC. Anyway, so I didn't watch live coverage from was it Green Mountain Championship?
It was the match play.
And I guess there was a commercial about with like UC and alpaca, blah, 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 which I'll get into in a second. We'll dive deeper into that whole meaning of that. But Robin sends me a message through Slack being like, oh, you got to watch this commercial. Like, basically, this is what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Like, it kind of just goes one ear out the other. I probably was drinking a whole bunch when he said that. I got after it that weekend for sure. Had an event, some other things. Anyway. So he sends me this YouTube link. I don't watch it that day. And I think I talked to you. Maybe we did something. I don't know. We hung out for like a minute. Or I stopped by on last Friday to drop something off to you. And talk for a minute. And you're like, oh, that alpaca thing. And I was like, oh, shoot. Okay. I didn't watch it. I will watch it before we record next. So I go home and watch it. And it's like just like about this like organization of, I don't know, like alpaca herding or like keeping alpaca farming. I don't know. It was just like this random whatever thing. And I'm like, there must have been some inside joke. And Rob's like, well, what he's saying. I'm like, who's saying? I don't understand. Like, who's saying this? Like, you see, I'm like, was he on live commentary and he talked about blah, blah. And we keep going deeper until I actually had to pull my phone out and show Robin the link he sent me. Turns out it was totally not what he meant. I think
totally random alpaca video.
I think the same way that I was like, maybe had a few too many drinks when I was trying to watch it or look through it. Robin probably had too many drinks when he was trying to find the link.
I think happened.
You just searched alpaca.
No. I think I watched the video on YouTube after seeing it in the live coverage and being like, what the fuck did I just watch? And then, of course, like YouTube automatically generates new content. So I think when I watched that video and then went to go copy link, I must have copied the link to the next video.
Right. It auto-played into the next one.
When it was auto-playing like some alpaca farm in freaking Arkansas or something like that.
Something weird. I just put like the whole, this entire time, actually until minutes before we started recording, I was just like, I missed something. There's like some joke. There's something I don't get it, but I missed it.
Listen, UC, you can make thousands of beautiful discs, but you fuck one alpaca.
With that said, not what Robin said. With that said about alpaca commercial, Robin finally showed me the commercial, to which I was still like, what? I don't get this. This is fucking super weird. Like, UC, I'm assuming, because he owns the company, he also like gets final say and like,
oh no,
is also like creative director and everything's like perfect. Let's run this.
Yeah.
Love it. Even if I was like, no, I wonder if it's like a,
everyone,
do you think UC is
everyone
like
shaking in fear?
Do you think it's like, yeah, like Emperor's New Clothes or whatever,
totally,
where it's like
1,000%.
You look great. That's so awesome. You're definitely not
so
fully naked.
For those who haven't seen it, what we're discussing is a Discmania ad that has been airing in, that originally
aired in the match play championship and aired multiple times throughout. But it's UC of Discmania, the owner of Discmania, talking about alpacas and then talking about pills and what he's referring to.
Vitamins.
Vitamins, yeah. What he's referring to is the fact that the alpaca, which is an infinite disc mold, and the omega, which is a millennium mold, are P2s. And so he's trying to tell you that we are now producing P2s because there's been a massive shortage of them for like freaking ever since I can remember, of P2s. So he's basically like in some strange way trying to let the dozens of alpaca and omega throwers,
I guess, know to just get P2s.
All 40 of them, that they can now buy P2s instead of just like buying P2s.
Or alpacas.
Or alpacas.
But here's
and
the rub,
so,
because isn't it the new, so,
and he's doing, but like what was that voice that he was doing? Is that Yusi's, what is that voice? That can't, I hope that's not, I hope he didn't, I mean, is that,
I, it's not like Attenborough, because it wasn't like,
I mean,
English,
that was my
it
first
was like
thing.
More American, like,
He took it that lower level, and it's
he
just,
did. I think it's like a mixture of Attenborough, and I think like a big chunk of like Planet Earth, and in
like if David
States,
Attenborough was a serial killer,
was like Sigourney Weaver, like maybe in the middle of the two. I don't know, but also creepy.
No, I think it's if Attenborough was a serial killer.
How do you know he's not?
I don't, but I know what he I know what he
assume.
Would sound like if he was.
Yeah, it was weird. Is this like the new P2 though? That's like slightly different because it's now
probably
molded by.
It's most likely some kind of different,
right? Or they're just like we're doing a final run with Innova. No, it's got to be their
no,
own.
No, no, no. There's no more runs with Innova.
So it's slightly. I don't know, but that's also goes into like the whole thing about.
How many
discs are there in the molded by Innova world that are all the same exact disc with a different wrapper on it?
Quite a bit. I mean,
like
if you go through the Millennium and Infinite and you know all.
Well,
that,
there's also like Legacy. There's tons of brands who have notoriously bought discontinued or molds from Innova.
Paid for the rights for them.
For the rights for them. So you've got all these discs with a different wrapper, but
not even paid for the rights. Just
get to use.
Just paid for it to be molded with their brand on it.
Right.
You know.
So like, with that said, you know, if you have two bags that look kind of, no, sorry, I'm not going to get into it. Won't get into it. But I'm wondering what other like kind of like beautiful mystery discs are out there that no one's throwing just because it's got a stupid name and no one bought it that are just sitting there that could be like.
I should note that as I was watching this, I had no idea what I was watching. And a tribute to our Slack members in Tournament Talk, we have a channel for like spoiler level Tournament Talk as it goes, and I was like, what on earth did I just watch? Like, what? Because no clue. Like, I was just like, because Yusi's literally like, I like alpacas, they're fluffy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god, he's gonna murder people. Like, what is happening right now? And people,
well, you said that to me and I was like, oh, I guess Robin likes alpacas. Like, I for sure, like, it went over my fucking head. I was like, I did not know like Robin was like super into alpacas, but all right, cool, dude.
I'm like, oh my god, it's UC with farm animals at the same time. What is happening?
Yeah,
this is terrifying. And immediately people are like, oh, he's referring to these molds. So tribute. Thank you so
tribute,
much.
But also let's wait until like Monday for like the shit storm in Slack of people like, no, that's not what it is.
No,
like,
it's definitely what it is.
I know, but there's
it's definitely
be,
what
we've
it
got
is.
Some names.
But like quite immediately
just like to have
they,
people
they
argue
deduced
with them.
What was going on and explained it to me. And it's still weird. I'm not gonna lie, it's still weird, but it makes sense, I guess. It's and we're talking about it, so like effective marketing. Once again, super genius, UC Maresma.
But like you could like throw pilots or judges or bullets. Just saying, like,
okay.
Cool patoos. Neato. Sorry, UC.
But I mean, I just you know, UC, the marketing super genius, make a crazy weird commercial and we'll be forced to talk about it.
But I mean, we're talking about it. So he won. But
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
If he got all three, and yes, I'm saying three Crush Boys in it somehow.
I mean,
it'd be even bigger and better.
I am a little disappointed we didn't get to see Simon petting an alpaca. You know, like, I feel like Simon would actually appreciate the alpaca rather than UC being like, how much can I sell its fur for?
Just being weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Just being strange. And he's like,
are we going to
UC like, is our Elon Musk.
He's, I was going to say, in like 5 to 10 years, are we going to start just hearing some weird stories about UC?
I think we just watched a weird story. I know, story,
but I'm just
UC
saying, like, are there things that they're just like, he's paying me, we like him, like, he's not, we're going to keep these secrets, but like, as something's going to turn in Discmania, and we're just going to hear, like, he'll be like, all right.
This has been going on for 20 years.
Let me tell you something real quick.
Let me tell you about the day I was recruited to Discmania. I had to sit on an alpaca rug.
We were in a ball pit. Don't worry about it.
Anyway,
and
we've got a great show for you guys tonight. We are going to talk about the Disc Golf Pro Tour upping their payouts, and they've got a new sponsor, which is great. Good for them. And we'll talk about the Disc Golf Pro Tour match play. Lots of Disc Golf Pro Tour talk going on here. We have the Music City Open, which is in progress, which we'll just kind of like, that's basically it. Like, we're just going to tell you about it. We don't want to talk about it, you know, spoiler-wise, for those of you that like that. Then we'll do our world-famous
tour. You like
review.
That? Sorry.
Our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight, we have the Innova TL3, which is an 8-speed, 4-glide, -1 turn, 1 fade, distance driver? Control driver?
It's in control, it's an eight. So yeah. I guess
this was sent to us by Alex Bivelsick, one of our longtime fantastic listeners. So thank you so much for that. We got a star one and a champion one. We got to do a real good throw sesh with these. So awesome. Our beer is by Black Stack Brewing Company, Blotz Literal Lager. It is, what is the percentage on this? 4.6%. Lager.
You should give reasoning why we're going for.
And this is this was sent to us by Jeremy Davis. So thank you, Jeremy. We chose this one because my wife is extremely pregnant, and Jeremy sent us some other beers that are more in line with what we would normally review, like, you know, some higher percentage type things. But I kind of need to be ready to drive to the hospital, like, at any point. We chose this one because I think that'll work. But nonetheless, I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. And yeah, so Blotz Literal Lager, 4.6%, and it's by Black Stack Brewing. And yeah, so, and it says the Lager Queen of Minnesota on in quotes.
Ooh, so, I like it.
Good times.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a good lager.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
Disc Golf Pro Tour announced that the payout for the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship is jumping to like $250,000, which is going to be $30,000 for both MPO and FPO winners, which is bananas.
That's like life-changing money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, probably. I mean, for our, you know,
for most every, like, if you just got a check for $30,000,
yeah, I mean, if you're driving around the country in a van all year round, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I didn't think about it. I was like, I guess I couldn't make my same wage and like, be eligible to get into this and then win it. So never mind.
Disc golf is incredible. And it is growing, and these payouts are amazing. But lest we forget, the majority of our touring pros are literally driving around the country, living out of vehicles to play this sport. and like this money.
And many of those aren't even eligible for this tournament.
Like this represents disc golf bringing itself up to a level that like these really elite players can start to be like, okay, I can start to have some comforts on the
I can buy
trip.
A quesadilla
like,
farm.
I don't have to park in a Walmart parking lot anymore. I can, you know, maybe sleep in a hotel the night before instead. Or in an RV park.
Yeah, but you could sleep in a Walmart parking lot and buy into a quesadilla farm.
But
make that real money.
This is pretty huge, and they've announced a tour sponsor. So it's a mortgage company. You can figure it out. Go to discgolfprotour.com. I'm not going to give people free advertising, aside from Disc Golf Pro Tour that I just did.
It's like a really boring name too.
Yeah, but
I honestly don't even remember what it is. But it's like
I know exactly what it
great
is.
Great money, reliable mortgage.
You did great. Good job. But this is disc golf moving up and getting big time sponsors for the Disc Golf Pro Tour. The Disc Golf Pro Tour is like it's going to be basically everything next year. There's not going to be like we're dealing with these NTs right now and everything. It's going to be basically just the Disc Golf Pro Tour next year.
I was going to say, does Disc Golf Pro Tour have a board? I don't know. That,
I mean,
know.
They have
I
owners.
That out. I feel like they.
So yes, they have
most likely do. I mean, I feel like Disc Golf Pro Tour just needs to put out Disc Golf Pro Tour rules.
I mean, we'll see. I think it's just going to get absorbed more or less. I mean, you know, why fight it?
Disc Golf Pro Tour. I'm willing to become a Disc Golf Pro Tour member.
Oh. There you go.
If y'all don't know, that's a slight. I'm not. I'm still not. Nor have
Joe.
I been
Joe
a
is DGPT 001.
Yep, I will come on board for that.
Yeah,
I don't have a PDGA number.
I bet you will. I bet you will.
I won't because I won't.
Yeah, I mean, big these payouts means more players are going to consider touring, and more players, more talent will come into the game, and that's fantastic for disc golf.
Well, that's what you so if you watched the latest Music City Open Jomez preview round with Shustrick and Yuli and Germ One, just for like new players, I know there's a lot of people new to the sport listening to this podcast, which we really appreciate. That's rad. I'm happy you found us and you're hanging out with us. If you don't know Will Shustrick, just look him up. I've said it a ton on this podcast. When I first started watching disc golf, when I first started really getting into disc golf and we started doing, just playing, not even this podcast, there are some epic LeCastro Shustrick battles, Macbeth Shustrick battles. Shustrick was number one in the world for a little bit. Like, he was all that was right in the game for a long while. He's had back issues. You know, he's a family man now. There's all sorts of things going with that too. I think he's one of the main partners in Prodigy. Started helping that get going. So he's been busy, not been playing, but he is an all-time great. Check him out. Anyway, there was like a little, I don't know, 30-second quip back and forth with him and Yuli just being about, talking about like all these young kids being like, yeah, I just started playing when the pandemic hit and hey, I won my first NT. Like, just like.
Yeah, no, it's
wild. And this will continue to push that.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen epic growth in the PDGA memberships, like just like wild amounts and just huge growth for these companies. Like MVP after the Conrad, you know, holy shot, just like they sold more Conrad Envies and Nomads than like their entire previous year production. So like the growth has been insane.
Right.
And And for these companies, it's just people are loving disc golf. They're seeing the content. They're getting out there and they're playing. It's awesome. It's great.
When I was watching, shout out CCDG, shout out Golden Gate Park. I was watching Safari earlier today, actually, and yesterday. And some of the dudes on the lead card for second round and third round on each one of them were some dudes who, one, played disc golf, then got really into Ultimate and is coming back, who's an absolute crusher. And then, surprise, surprise, another dude, not been playing that long, but was a collegiate pitcher, throwing like insane overhands and forehands and backhands. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just... that's going to happen more and more. I mean, I had a meeting with someone in my office today from our local ecology center, surprise, surprise, who looked at my wall and went, oh, where do you play? I'm a disc golfer. I'm like, I'm not surprised. But really cool. Like, it's, especially in COVID times, you can get outside and play. It's huge for the game. And I think there's a lot of athletes who are starting to realize, you know, if my collegiate non-disc golf sport fades away, here's the place to go. But I think what we're going to start seeing, and I think we've seen a little bit here already, but I feel like there's going to be more of those athletes, those baseball players who are like, instead of going to JUCO and trying to grind their way up, they're just gonna be like, you know what? I'm going to play disc golf. Yeah. Like, I can just go make money right now instead of like trying to put this crazy grind and get a tryout and do all these crazy things. And
yeah, speaking of
being a road warrior for a sport that you might never get into.
Yeah, speaking of professional athletes that have to like suffer through crazy road trips on buses and stuff like that with almost no pay, like minor league baseball players, what are you doing? Like, go learn how to play disc golf and you know.
Not even minor, like minor leagues are actually like the farm league, like the farm.
No,
league
minor
dudes.
Leagues are horrible, dude.
I guess single A, yeah. Single, double. Once you're in triple,
unless
you
you're
get,
a high end
okay.
draft pick, you ain't making shit.
Yeah, but yeah, but then there's like the farm league dudes that aren't even like affiliated technically with a professional team that are playing these like semi pro leagues and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like the Sonoma, the Stompers or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like we have one in town and they're dudes who stay at random people's houses that put them up and make really shitty like stipends. And that's what they do.
Yeah. They love the game.
You know what we should do? We should just go befriend Stompers players and take them disc golfing. Be like, hey, you guys want to make some money?
I don't want to find out how quickly someone can get like way better at me at disc golf.
We'll make them sign contracts, Robin.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Well, we can be the new other DGI.
Okay.
Right? Because there's like two and one was all right. There was the one.
Do those exist anymore?
I very much do. I don't think that one ever really existed.
I feel like it's like a disc golf super pack.
Is that the real reason that Shoestring fell off? Did he just lose tons of money to this fake?
Probably.
Because he was one of the main
dudes he was.
Who pushed, made this thing happen.
Yeah. The disc golf instruction or whatever that was, that subscription service.
Yeah.
That like just had.
Oh, no, that was a different DGI. There, remember the DGI too?
Yeah, no, like I remember that one. I was talking about the one that Shoestring was involved.
You're right. I just went DGI and that's right. There was that and then, oh my God.
Yeah, there's two. There was the DGI that was like the agent network that apparently, you know, was just like.
Was super fake.
I think a lot of nothing. And then there was the actual DGI, which was disc golf instruction. I want to say it's disc golf instruction. I don't know what else.
I think you're right.
But Shoestring was putting out like videos. It's like a subscription service.
It was like masterclass.
Yeah,
for disc golf.
Like, it happened at first. Then people did stuff, and then it just like.
And then the Paul Macbeth tips or whatever that was really just Sexton video leaked on YouTube, and it all went out the window because like
that happened way before DGI. That was that video has been out forever.
Did we ever get any DGI stuff?
No.
I feel like we thought about it. We just never did.
No, we didn't. We didn't. So anyway, Disc Golf Pro Tour match play. I think we're done talking about how much money the Disc Golf Pro Tour is going to spend on players next year, but that's fantastic, and I hope it gets more. So Disc Golf Pro Tour match play event, the championship.
By the way, there were some big upsets.
Well, yeah. I mean, starting, first of all, I'll start us here. One, the interviews. Normally, like when I get the notification that the DGN press conference is coming up, I'm kind of like, okay, all right, thanks. You know, like, I don't need to see Calvin Heimberg say seven words when he's been asked 18 questions, somehow managing to answer them in, you know, just spectacular, boring fashion. He's fantastic on skins and stuff like that where you get him loose, but you put him in an interview. Holy moly. So Geodes. Normally I just kind of like bypass it entirely. But this time the match play ones, like players were really loose. Did you see the video of Missy Gannon and Kona Panis?
No.
Oh God, dude. Like, they had Kona and Missy, they were the first round matchup. And so, they're asking him, like, you know, what do you think about your opponent and stuff like that? And Missy stops and she's like, hold on. She unzips her shirt and she's got a shirt on that, like, has an arrow over it. It's like, this person's going to lose. Like, essentially, I forget exactly what it said on the shirt. And then she goes on to say, like, well, I mean, it's good for Kona. She's going to win some money no matter what. Like, she's here, like, she'll get the first round money. And like Kona's just dying on the side over there, like not totally not prepared. Missy going hard in the paint. Like it was super good. And then on top of that, you got Ricky talking trash to Emerson. Now this is the real cringe. Like Ricky being like, I don't even think we're going to make it to nine, like all this sort of stuff. And then sure enough, Emerson takes down Ricky in extra holes. I think it was like 13 holes. But yeah, Rick talking mad trash.
If anybody knows about how talking trash can fuel someone, it's Rick.
Yeah. Yeah. He would be the guy to know about
that. He didn't care. He was going to go get a foot massage from a lovely lady or something.
But yeah, so Missy Gannon ended up being true for her trash.
Good.
I mean, you know,
maybe she's trying to be like that. I mean, I'm sure it pops up on most people's like YouTube stream here and there, like that one bowling guy who would just be like yelling and getting crazy. Maybe, you know, she's trying to be the heel of disc golf.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was good. It was
like, because there's not
an FPO. You didn't see that. Come
there's
on,
not
dude.
There's not an FPO heel that I can think of. I mean, there's a few MPO that I could like throw out would be like this, but like there's not a true FPO one. So that'd be fun to have. I feel like she just needs to embrace it though and keep rolling. She can't call it quits after not taking it all this time.
But no, it was solid. I fully recommend check it out. It's on DGN's YouTube channel. Possibly the best pre-round interview ever.
I mean, aside from the Funky Farms Pro-Am.
No, this was way better.
Paul's Cricane partner.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the best one.
Yeah, I mean, that was
the most eloquent, not on many
stimulants through
your nose.
No. So in MPO, the first match of the day was Eagle and Colton Montgomery. Eagle took that down. We had Adam Hammes taking down Ezra Aderhold. We had Chris Dickerson taking down Kyle Klein. We had Garrett Gerthy taking down Kevin Jones.
That's two. I think we both agreed the opposites of those two.
We did. We had Calvin Heimberg taking down Chris Clemens. We both had that.
Oh, yeah.
Nico taking down Gavin Rathbun.
I think we had that.
I think so, too. But Emerson Keith taking down Ricky Wysocki, very few people had. But there were, I'm sure there were some. And then James Conrad taking down Joel Freeman. So
I had that one. We had that one.
That was.
Oh, by the way, just to bring it up. Yes, we know. Paul McBeth played in the inaugural tournament and the course that he built.
No, we don't know. We were told afterwards.
We now know is what I'm saying.
Yes.
We now know.
And mopped up a field of
foundation disc golf
competitors.
Was this where they got their, like, is this the round that they got to play that they brought the.
I think that was the $500 Patreon level. Tier. You get to get.
No, it was like $3,000.
Okay, like $3,000. Oh, that's right. You had to be $500 a month
for at least six months,
and then you can get
stomped
by Paul McBeth on his home course.
I mean, still be fun.
Yeah, sure. I mean, worth it. Worth it.
I'd be down to get stomped by him at his local course. I mean, about $3,000, but
yeah, rent, whatever. In round two,
mortgage.
We had Eagle taking down Adam Hammes, Chris Dickerson taking down Garrett Gerthy, Calvin Heimberg taking down Nicola Castro, and James Conrad taking down Emerson Keith. So his Cinderella run was immediately squashed. In the second round, we had Eagle McMahon taking down Chris Dickerson and Calvin Heimberg taking down James Conrad.
It was spicy.
Yeah, that was quite spicy. So that was nice. So final matchup of Calvin Heimberg and Eagle McMahon. The highlight probably that everyone's seen of this match play was Eagle just absolutely blasting a shot, putting it under the basket on a super long hole. I think it's like
seven
hole
something.
Two or three.
Yeah.
Just like with a huge, huge turnover shot. And I think we've seen that a bunch of times, but I'm pretty sure it's two, might be three. But yeah, that was awesome. Ultimately, Eagle wins.
All right. So we realized that Calvin won. We knew it then. We were just on a roll, and Robin had that pre-baby brain, just so you know. Baby girl was born healthy actually later that night, or I guess technically the following morning. So, yes, we know that Calvin won, not Eagle. Sorry about that. Thanks, y'all.
Taking down. This is match play, so, you know, you win the hole, you take a point, and it does, you know, nothing carries over. It's not like skins or anything like that. But they played out through 11 holes and Eagle won 3-1. So I enjoy match play, but I greatly prefer on the live coverage seeing all the different players and lots of different mm-hmm. things going on.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as interesting for me, but it is fun. So
I think it's fun for like a filler video.
Yeah.
But not like a multiple day tournament.
Yeah, agreed. So I'm going to run through FPO as well. So we in the round one matchups, we had Paige Pierce versus Deanne Carey Paige Pierce taking down Deanne Carey. And then we had Sarah Hokum taking down Jessica Weiss. And we had Missy Gannon taking down Kona Panis. Kona still probably sobbing. In the dark.
She's a mess. I don't know. I don't think she'll be back next season.
I don't
season.
Think she'll ever recover from this. Nope. I mean, she got absolutely just posterized on top of the press conference where she just got embarrassed by Missy. I don't know.
I really hope Kona just takes this and like...
She was great.
What if Kona has a heel turn?
She was great.
Can we write scripts for disc golfers?
Like, you got to watch it because even in, she was like, oh my God, this is hilarious. Like,
totally.
You can tell, like, they love each other.
Oh, yeah. No, I know there's not any real.
No, there's no.
Yeah.
It was just Missy.
Oh, totally.
It was Missy showing off, like, she got game. So, and then Haley King taking down Katrina Allen. That was a shocker right there.
I feel like we were split on that one. I feel like we both kind of were ooh. Yeah.
And then in the second round, we had Paige Pierce taking down Sarah Hokum and Missy Gannon taking down Haley King. And in the final round, Paige Pierce takes down Missy Gannon. And
what was that score?
So it was 4-3.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So it was a close one. And Missy picked up a late one, too. So, yeah. But, yeah, so in the end, we have... We have Eagle and Paige winning out.
Yeah, it makes sense. I could have drawn that up.
A lot of people did. A lot of people did.
The path there through all the other opponents, I would have missed some, but I feel like very easily in the end, that's probably where I would have ended up.
Yeah. Yeah, more or less. So the Music City Open, in progress at the moment.
Tennessee.
There was a bunch of drama going into this, mostly at the hands of Paul McBeth tweeting about stuff that he didn't feel the course was difficult enough and things like that. So I say drama, but, you know, Twitter stuff. Like, there are a lot of pros currently that are very upset with the PDGA. You know, Paige Pierce, notably, has been boycotting these sorts of, you know, NTs and stuff like that. And Paul McBeth has been quick to call them out on things like this, too. So, you know, he was saying that the signage was poor, the course was too short, that this was, you know, not a challenging enough course for an NT and possibly the last NT, you know.
Yeah, the last of the season. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Possibly the last NT ever, maybe?
Ooh,
I mean, last NT this year.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's the tour finale.
I will say, watching the Jomez stuff, it did feel like there was an abundance of, like, either straight shots or, like, poke and pray. Mm-hmm. Like, blind poke and pray. Like, just get it. Not that, I guess.
The practice GMC round
was, yeah, yeah, yeah. Not that GMC was a ton different than that, but it was for sure just like, you want to, like, get it over here and then just hope, like, you don't hit any of the trees. Like, there's not really real gaps. It's just like, see what's up.
So, I mean, there was some you know, on that end, and Paul is, you know, Paul has been known to be outspoken about this sort of stuff. So, it's worth noting. And he's not always wrong about it.
The same way we talk about UC, though, is how we talk about Paul.
Yeah.
This very much could just be like, I've lost some tournaments. Like, let me get my name coming out of some people's mouths and get some hype.
So I don't know. We'll see how this goes. But we don't want to spoil. We're one round in at this point. I don't want to spoil any tournament results. So yeah, Music City Open. And had we done this before, we would have done picks, but we didn't.
Nope.
Again,
I don't know if Robin brought it up, but he and his wife are going to bring a small child into the world pretty quick here. So. And there are a lot of last minute things that need to be done. In his home.
Doing the best I can.
No. Fantastic. I have no excuses. I just am lazy. So, love you guys.
All right, Joe. You ready to do a deer review?
I am. Do you have the discs there?
They're out in my car.
Okay. Sweet. I know how they... I mean, I knew how it fly. I knew how it flew. Like, it's a flat TL. So, we're good.
All right. It is time for our world-famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight, we have the TL3 by Innova. It is an 8-speed, 4-glide, -1 turn, 1-fade control driver sent to us by Alexander Bilsick. Thank you, Alex. And our beer is Blotz Literal Lager by Black Stack Brewing, and it is a 4.6% lager. And this was sent to us by Jeremy Davis. So he sent us other stuff too. We'll get to those when I'm allowed to have higher percentage beer.
Yes. We will review at least one of those. I just want to be totally honest with you, Jeremy. There's a very good chance that we just drink one of them.
That's possible.
Because they look good. Yeah. And I want to drink them.
So the TL3, I should say, Joe, where do you want to start? Disc or beer?
Why don't you talk about the disc?
Okay. So the TL3, we have previously reviewed the TL, Joel Freeman TL specifically, which was sent to us by, I believe, like Thomas Sturgill. Is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
I want to say that's right. So another listener. And the TL3, flatter version of it, obviously, yep. Faster.
The three, faster.
By what the numbers say it should be. The TL was a 7-speed, and the TL...
squishing it down, it widened the rim a little bit.
Yeah, so the TL3 was an 8-speed. I really, really like the TL3. It's a lot of fun. awesome straight lines that just get a little bit of fade right at the end. But I mean, you can throw a dart, like a straight laser beam, and then have it just get a little bit of pickup. And even if you give a lot of power, like, you'll get some turn out of it, but not crazy. It's still going to find its way back. And just for laser beam lines, this was an intriguing disc. The, by comparison to the TL, I found the TL to be way more understable than what the numbers said. I hope that's what I said in the review.
We did. I remember. I remember pretty clearly being like, it's a lot like Glow FDs, just a little less glide. I mean, it's probably similar-ish to. Well, no, it's not. I was going to say the Mockingbird. No, but I remember it being very similar to Glow FD, just not as much glide.
But still a little bit, not crazy understable. But
not crazy, but still, you know, it turns, and if you crank it or put it on Annie, it continue that to hold that.
But I mean, the TL3 was just time after time, like, you could do a little baby hyzer flip with it and get it to pop up and fly straight. And then get a little finish. You could throw it flat, and it would throw like a pure laser beam. And
I threw a really nice one on just a little hyzer, not super hard, and it carried just that nice clean hyzer the whole flight, which was nice. I will say so. Alexander, thank you very much. He sent us a Mason Ford Star and just a regular Champ. The Star was definitely less stable than the Champ. Like, we got definitely some turn, some actual turn out of the Star, whereas the Champ, I don't think there was a ton of turn. I think, like Robin said, you could flip it up to fly flat and straight for a while and just have a little baby hookup at the end. But the Star, you for sure could get on a slight hyzer, get a little flip up and maybe a little turn, but still kind of end a little bit in line. Like, Rob and I threw them both back to back. They both went about the same distance, which was they were nice pulls, but the Star ended, I don't know, 18 feet to the right of the Champ.
Yeah. And it was still, I mean, still good line. Like, not.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, it didn't turn and burn. It didn't turn and hold it super long. Like, it still hooked up and came back in line-ish, maybe a little bit more over to the right. And I do feel like the one fade is, like, super clean number. It didn't hit super hard. I would say that minus one, just for Robin said that, you know, that flip up. I would almost say it's like a 4-5 glide, to be honest.
I do. I was about to say, I think the 4 glide could be a 5. Like, I have no issue with that. I think we saw some pretty good distance.
We had a couple for sure that we were just like, oh, that was pretty good. And once we got out to them, like, oh, well, I got to push a little bit further than I thought
and
it did.
And pretty effortless, like, not trying too hard.
And I think 8 is fine, because honestly, it's such a random, like, is it a 9? Is it a 7? Either way, it makes sense. So I think 8 feels totally fine for that.
Yep.
Definitely, I liked it better than the TL. I like that stability. I do love, too, with this set, it was a brand new fresh Champ. A lot of times you get a fresh Champ disc and it's a meat hook. This was just super nice and controllable out of the box. Very nice to know. And the great thing is, throwing that Star one is, you now know where your Champ will be in a few months of throwing it, which is still a great world to live in.
Absolutely. And I would say, like, in terms of, so who wants to throw this disc? So, like, if you're a T-Bird thrower, or even maybe T-Bird 3, and you're looking for something a little bit straighter, you know, with a little bit less fade and like, you know, give you a little bit more distance, but that this is where you want to be. Or, like, I even say, like, I don't know, like, I think this is better than the Escape. I think you need to be throwing TL3s.
It's a totally different disc.
I don't think so. I mean, I agree that it's it, like, the end result is different in terms of, like the Escape is not going to give you that fade, but I think it's better.
Well, an Escape is a 10.
Yeah.
And it's way less stable.
Yeah.
It's like a, it's a turn. I throw it for like turnovers. I don't throw it for.
But you, the main time I see you throw them is like, you'll throw it on like uphill ones and stuff like that, where you're looking to make use of that.
I mean, I'm throwing jackalopes now, but.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But I don't know. Like, yeah, definitely more stable than those sorts
yeah,
of things.
Yeah. No, it's kind of, it is a really unique world. I was thinking about that actually. I mean, what I honestly throw for when I want something like that, to be totally honest, is right now, like the Pro Thunderbird.
Yeah.
Is what
but
I'm throwing.
But this is certainly way less stable than that.
Yeah. No, totally. Yeah. And it won't fly as far, which is a good thing a lot of times. But
by
design. Like I can't think of really what. I don't have a disc that has that flight, I guess what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
I mean, people that want something that's a little bit straighter, if you're like throw a T-Bird 3s or something like that, get in there. But the other problem is that it's another one of those ones, you can't find the TL3s everywhere, you know? Like, they're out of stock in a lot of places, so it's not like...
Right, and this is how Rad Alexander's... He sent us both of these from two different places, because that's how he could find them.
Yeah, so it's not like the ideal thing to build, you know, a slot in your bag around, but it's a nice, you know, there's a lot to be said for you know, keeping yourself in the at the top end of your bag being like 8-9 speed, and making it work. Like, there's not all that many times where you need those higher speed discs. Most of the time, for us AM arms, you're really not much better than 9-speed no matter what. And if you get a good pull, we're talking, you know, a few feet difference versus trying something crazy with a higher speed disc and maybe getting it right and getting an extra 15 feet. Yeah. You know, like, what are we really talking about?
Yeah, no, and I like the thought of it. And I'm thinking about it. I think I've put in the last, I don't know, 15 episodes, I've put like two or three discs, the same kind of world in my bag for like a round. I've been like, no, I'm not going to do that. What do I? So I'm just going to, oh, we need to go beer first. I was just about to give my final judgment. But no, I feel like it could have a place. I just am confident with a lot of things I have. It's definitely intriguing, but I also know you're very intrigued. So we'll see.
See where it goes.
Where it goes. But I mean, that's the thing we've been talking for. I threw Eagles back in my bag, tried to mess with that again. Cause like, really, I don't have a stable fairway / control in my bag.
Yeah.
I have overstable or understable. Like, I don't have a stable aside, and I'm calling A3s right now stable. Some of the ones I have, like, I don't have a straight, just, well, pilot. Pilot is probably the most, like, if you're going to say on a scale from
neutral.
Under.
You're
yeah,
saying
exactly. Sorry. Neutral. The only neutral disc I have in my back really right now is a Pilot.
Yeah.
Which is
I think we do also need to start pushing the term neutral.
I do too. I like that. No, for sure.
Just because, like,
and people, this is a very
people
neutral
get
disc.
Bent on what stable means. And I think just to eliminate the confusion, calling something neutral, meaning that it's going to be a straight flying disc, is probably helpful.
I will also say real quick that this disc is neutral for Robin and I. This disc is neutral for like a 350 arm.
Yeah.
So I'll just tell you right now, if you can't put it out 350, this will be overstable for you.
I agree.
All right. Let's talk beer.
Yeah. All right. So Blotz Literal Lager by Black Sack Brewing Company, 4.6% alcohol. This is, I actually really like this.
Oh, it's a lovely lager.
It's like, you know, nice crisp wheat, just like a, you know, nice like sharp finish. This is a delicious beer. We do not review beers like this very often.
No.
But this is terrifically drinkable and all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to give you tons of notes. Because it's,
I mean, it's like a
flavor profile I'm not used to reviewing. It is refreshing. It's a little malty.
Got that wheat flavor.
Yeah, I was like barley-ish. Like, it's good. It's crisp. It's clean. Goes down real smooth. I'll be totally transparent, honest. I took one sip and then I drank all of it with my second sip.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's done over there. It was nice. And I'll be, here's more transparency. Because the shedio was just renovated, these were not even refrigerated and super duper drinkable. Nice and cold, like an ice chest, or just like nice and cold in your bag. Maybe you've got a bag that's got a little cooler on the side. Uh-huh. You could smash these all around.
Yeah.
This is actually probably smarter than how we ever drink, is just to smash a whole bunch of these, but super clean, crisp, or even like have a couple IPAs on the course, get back to your car, crack one of these out of the ice chest. Refreshing as all get out.
Yeah.
For sure. This is not a typical, like, if I'm going to have two beers in a night after I get home from work, like, I don't think I'm cracking one of these open unless I'm dehydrated, which happens more often than not, and I don't want to drink water. yeah, don't worry about it. Just move past okay. that.
Just move past
just
it.
Just move past it. Fantastic beer. Like, for the typical Joe, being out of the typical Joe wheelhouse, I really enjoyed this beer.
Yeah. No, this is quite good. I'm fully on board. So.
Like, I feel like pop a couple of these in the bag and maybe one stovepipe and like have a great, fantastic mm-hmm. round and feel good at the end of the round.
And then drive your wife to the hospital.
Well, that's different.
Oh.
That's different. Are we going to play like disc golf this weekend and you're going to have like two cars in case you just, well, no, because I'll get you home if you need to get home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll take one probably. Car. We'll be fine.
Probably. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right. So, TO3, we're going to the verdict portion of this, but
yeah.
I don't know what to do here. I really, really like the throws. I don't want to put another disc in my bag that I'm not going to commit to and talk about, but like it's a lot of fun. So I'm like a 0.5 on it. I'm like, half
what
and half.
Do you just full, like, so say it goes in your bag. Is it an extra disc in the bag? Because you probably can have
because I can fit it in there. That's the thing.
Or does something come out for
it? I can't think of a time. No, it wouldn't be something coming right. out. Like, I just, I like the fact that it can take a little bit more power. But the majority of the time, like, my Glow FD and my FDs, like, are probably going to do, like, 97% of what
I... Well, and that's my point, too. I still have the Glow FD in my bag, too.
Yeah. So, like, I like it. It was a lot of fun to throw, and it's a great disc. I think that like, in a parallel universe, I could be just a TL3 guy and, like, not throw FDs. And, like, just have that be the thing, and that would be fine, too.
Well, no, but the beauty of the FDs is the hard right, though, too. Like, having the nice turnover.
Yeah, but I'm sure you can beat the
Jesus
out of
or just throw
Annie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm certain that you can beat a TL3 to do all that. So,
if you needed 14 backup FDs, how hard is that for you to get?
Well, I mean, I have them.
Exactly. If you needed three backup TL3s, how hard is that for you to get?
It would be hard-ish. Not impossible.
Not impossible. We could make that happen. Yeah. But I don't know that it's that much better. For certain shots, it is. But how often do I need that shot? Like, I can't think of a lot of shots that I play semi-regularly that I just need that nice, long, straight. And a lot of times... I mean, you talk about escapes or jackalopes. It's harder to do it because it's me having to hyzer flip something or take something off. But I can get that same flight, and I've gotten the same flight with mm-hmm. escapes and jackalopes. It's just there's more skill that goes into it
yeah.
than just being able to rip it and know it's just going to go straight and finish. Yeah. And I'm in the world finally after a billion years of playing and... 5+ years of podcasts where I'm like excited for that challenge of really cleaning up hyzer flips and throwing 70% instead of throwing everything 100%. So like with that said, I want to be able to the same way that I don't know, a year ago, a year and a half ago playing some of our local courses, I super committed to throwing flat putter shots. because I was like, I need to be able to throw this. I want to throw this. I know I can. And I got really good at that. So now my next big one is popping up a jackalope or an escape on a hyzer flip to get a laser beam straight forever with a slight finish. So, I'm not going to put it in. I really, you almost talked me into it being like, well, shoot, been talking about it forever, but,
I don't know. I think you might like it better. Like, I think the jackalope, it's tons of fun.
I turned it over so bad the other day.
I know, exactly.
It was so bad.
But I don't think you do that with the TL3. I think it's.
I don't think I can. It won't turn over like that.
Exactly.
One,
I think it does what you. I don't know. I kind of feel like it would be like the escape jackalope solution. Like, that's the reason you picked up the jackalope, because you're like, oh, cool, that worked great. Like, that did that, but like, it's still touchy.
Yep.
Like, it's still.
Yep.
And I don't know. I feel like this would be something that would work well in that slot for you.
Yeah. I mean, I'll think about it. I'm not against, like, I very much, I think I'm the same way you are. I'll jump right back in with like that 0.5 where I'm like very intrigued, like the thought of it. At the same time, maybe I should call UC and be like, what other discs TL3s that I can just pick up? What in your lineup is a TL3?
Please don't talk to me in that voice.
Yeah. Please no.
Whatever that voice is.
Please no. What if people love that voice? Maybe what if that's the way that he got Simon and Eagle and Kyle?
I don't
he just got on the phone with him and was like,
no.
Alpacas are fuzzy. And they're like, oh my God. I'm in. Where do I sign? Wait, what just happened? I just broke out of my haze. I don't get what's happening.
I like you. Your hair is fuzzy.
Yeah.
Well,
weird. I'm only 16.
All right, Joe. So we're like one out of four. We both give it a 0.5 on the disc. And
well, we're three out of four.
We're three out of four, yeah.
Right? Because we're both totally
we're both
on that
down
beer.
On the beer. Yeah, you're right.
I'll drink lots of those.
Yeah.
Three out of four. This is like super niche, and I'm sorry for y'all that don't get it. This is how I feel about the safari layout for the Golden Gate Park safari. I feel like there's just some holes that were just a little over the top, but some were super duper fun.
So Central Coast Disc Golf does the San Francisco Safari every year. Check it out. Worth your watch. And
you got Corey Merle and Ian on the mic once again. Corey, it's his like home course. That's where he plays all the time. There are some rad dudes on all the cards. I have played disc golf with three out of whatever the 10-ish people that are on those cards, which is a neat story for me to have.
Hashtag humble brag.
Yeah. Anyways, lots of really cool dudes. Lots of guys that we know or are friends-ish of the show or whatnot. And a local UFO, which they talk about, which I love. I did not finish watching it, so I don't know if he won, but he was in the lead for lots of rounds. Is on it, who lives in San Francisco now, plays there. He's like been the number one tag holder a ton, but he still plays with the UFOs when they have like the California challenges.
By the way, UFOs, because no one cares. United Flyers of Sonoma. It's our local club.
First disc golf club ever.
Joe's talking to people like they should know this, but.
They'll know.
Don't worry.
Corey talks about it. It's a
you
thing.
You don't need to know.
People
it.
Know it. It's fine.
But yes, we're repping UFOs.
Yeah.
But you got to give people context. We're not
right.
Just,
sorry.
This isn't the Sonoma podcast.
It's true. It's true. But also, although we play in Napa more, I'll rep UFOs all day because Napa Disc Golf Club, you need to figure some stuff out. That's all.
All right. Well, that's all we got for you in this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. Be sure to check out our website, throwstuffstuff.com. There's a join Slack link. Join the best disc golf community in the whole world. It's fantastic. We just talk disc golf and plenty of other things all day long. So check it out. Throwstuffstuff.com. Join Slack. Fantastic chat community about everything. Next, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. If you love the main show, you will really enjoy our pre-show recordings, which we do before every single show. Sometimes we do a post-show. It's happened like twice, once, something like that. You know, if you like the show and you want an extra recording every single week, join Patreon, support us, and we very much appreciate everyone that has already done that. So check it out, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. And in the meantime, get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless. But those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you wanna put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. And then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you feel my throw for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me. It's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA, so let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly. And then I'll fucking hook it softly. And then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna hook it.